Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
What's that common expression? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Yeah. I love Fred Smoot so much as a guest. He's entertaining. He's high energy. One of the reasons I love Fred and Clinton, and over the years love having them on the show, is because in addition to being NFL guys, they are huge college football fans, which means the conversations with them about the draft are conversations with guys that sat there and watched all these players Saturday 12 noon until Saturday at 2 in the morning. You know, and that's what you would get with them. Fred is highly entertaining, one of my favorite people to have on the show, and we will effort to get him into the spot in which he told me he would be available to come on this morning at 8 a.m. In the meantime, and in between time, I want to mention that Dane Brugler, who does a phenomenal job with the NFL draft as part of The Athletic, and he's been one of the better draft guys over the years, he's going to join us at 8:30. He has just released in the last few days his comprehensive draft report, which includes basically, you know, over 600 players evaluated. He's also come out this morning with an updated total mock draft, which we will talk to him about. He too believes that Mac Jones is the third quarterback taken. He's got Trey Lance going 4 to Atlanta, and Chase going before Pitts. Chase to Cincinnati, Pitts to Miami. Fields goes to Denver at 9, and that completes the quarterbacks in terms of the top 5. He too, like Kuiper, has Washington taking Koromoa, the linebacker from Notre Dame, overall. And then he does not have another quarterback going in the first round. So he will join us at 8:30. We'll have a conversation with him. We'll get his thoughts on some of the other quarterbacks that could be taken second round and beyond, including a guy like Davis Mills that we talked about last hour. By the way, you know, one of the receivers, Brendan, that I loved and talked about early on as a possible slot guy, you know, Kadarius Toney. He's one of those guys that's truly one of the electrifying players after the catch. There are a few of them in this draft. I think Rondell Moore's one of those guys. I think there are others. Waddle's obviously one of those guys early. He's got Toney making it to Washington at 51 in the second round. Can you imagine if they got Kadarius Toney at 51 in the second round? Why is Toney dropping?
I just think some of the other...
It shouldn't be his size.
I just think some of the other slot guys had better production and tested just as good or slightly worse, but were significantly more productive. Like Elijah Moore, Rondell Moore. Those guys have been rising up the draft boards a lot. And then another guy is like Jalen Darden out of North Texas. He's not going like first or second round, but he went from, you know, a potentially undrafted guy to maybe going in the third round now. So other slot guys, and it's just such a deep draft at the slot position that a lot of these guys are just rising up the board and maybe realizing teams are realizing that, hey, maybe we don't have to take Kadarius Toney in the top 20.
I don't like that at all. I mean, when you be, and I'll tell you why. I mean, look at what they've had at Florida. I would never look just at I'd look at production, obviously, and he's been productive enough. But whether it was Van Jefferson and Cleveland and of course Pitts, there's just been so many options for Trask. And Trask, by the way, is very much, you know, a process quarterback. He's not just, you know, honing in on one guy. But when Toney touches it, he's electrifying. But they've had so many options there in the last couple of years. You know, by the way, you know, I loved Jefferson coming out. I thought there was a chance that he could become, you know, a pretty good NFL receiver. And it's turned out that he, you know, had a pretty productive year in LA and had a really good playoff game. He had a big catch, a couple of big catches in that playoff loss to Green Bay when they did have, you know, a chance in that game. But there were just so many options, you know, whereas at Purdue, maybe not as many options. And at some of the other places, not as many options. If you watched Kadarius Toney, you knew every time he touched it, he was a threat to take it the distance. You know, very much not, I'm not going to say Tyreek Hill, all right, but very much in the mold stylistically of Tariq Hill, a guy that'll catch it and then will quickly back up two steps as a guy goes flying by and then start to stop acceleration touchdown. Just so explosive as a slot guy. But I've seen more and more people dropping him, you know, into the late first round. And here you've got Brugler dropping him to 51 overall. By the way, Brugler does also have now Davis Mills as the sixth quarterback taken. And he's got him going in the second round to New England at 46 overall before Mond goes to 52 to Chicago. That's a development here. You know, more and more people, I think, that are in the know are becoming more and more confident that, you know, at times we've been before, but we've mentioned Trey Lance, mentioned even Justin Fields, that Mac Jones is going to go to San Francisco at 3. You do have to think very much that the 49ers not only knew what the Jets were going to do, but knew who they wanted. I don't think they moved up to 3 with the thinking of, we really like Jones, Lance, and Fields, and we'll figure it out between now and draft day. I think they made that move because they were absolutely convinced on the guy that they wanted. It is amazing. You know, and this is a lesson each year as we go through the draft. No one had Mac Jones anywhere near this level a year ago. You know, you just didn't have that kind of, people had Trask well ahead. You know, Jones was not a first-round grade a year ago. A year ago, where was Mac Jones? Mid-round pick? Projected?
Mac Jones? I don't think he was very highly considered, considering he hadn't played much.
Yeah. I mean, at best, you know, fourth, fifth, you know, third to fifth rounder, somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't remember exactly, but every year we talk about this, and every year there's a quarterback that we weren't thinking of that makes it into, you know, a position that nobody had considered before the year started. You know, Daniel Jones was very much a late riser in so many ways. I mean, there was a lot of discussion on really what, you know, a guy like Lamar Jackson would be. We see this every year, you know, just quarterbacks, Paxton Lynch making it into the first round. Nobody knew who Carson Wentz was in 2015 before the 2016 draft. You know, in 2014, nobody thought that, you know, a guy like Teddy, a guy like Manziel was going to go where he ended up going overall. I mean, I'm just looking back through the drafts. EJ Manuel, Geno Smith, you know, in 2013, Tannehill and Whedon in 2012 in terms of first rounders. No one had Jake Locker before that year being a top 10 pick. A lot of people had Locker before that 2011 draft being a first rounder potentially. And then you see all the guys that are projected first rounders that end up dropping out of that. Trask would be an example of that. Most people had a year ago, Kyle Trask is a guy that would probably go after Lawrence and Fields potentially. in the upcoming draft. So when I was listening to Kiper yesterday talk about the lack of quarterbacks, the urgency to get the quarterback this year, he was very adamant that this year is the year to get quarterbacks, that next year's mocked, you know, the next year's available quarterbacks, which would be led by Sam Howell, as an example, just the classes in 2022 and 2023 don't look that strong. I just don't know that we can be sure of those things right now. You know, a guy like Keaton Slovis could have a huge year at USC. He looks like a pro quarterback when you watch him. You don't know what's coming up in terms of the replacements of guys leaving, you know, Clemson, the guy that played at Notre Dame, Ukulele, or however you pronounce his last name. We don't know where he's going to end up being and what kind of year he'll have. You know, whoever the guy that emerges at Ohio State to replace Fields will end up having a hugely productive year. You know, you're pretty convinced of that. But anyway, it looks like we missed on Smoot. That will be, I don't want to say the last time I try, because I do love him, but it will be the last time we try for a while. Dane Brugler coming up at 8:30. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, Team980.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
Days are getting longer and warmer. Time to start thinking home improvement projects. What better way to improve the look and feel of your home than with new windows? Act now and beat the rush with 50% off all style windows. Bose, bays, picture and garden windows, you choose and you get half off. Plus, 0% financing for 18 months, right? You're not going to pay anything for 18 months, and then when you start paying, you're going to pay half price. Window Nation is the place to go if you've been thinking about new windows, or if you're trying to save on energy bills, or you're trying to increase the overall equity in your home with new windows. Window Nation is going to offer you the best deal. You're not going to match this deal anywhere else. They're going to give you a free estimate, which means there's no risk. They can do the free estimate virtually online, so you don't have to have anybody enter your home if you're concerned about that. Now, if you do want them in your home to give you the estimate, they follow all CDC guidelines. This is a company that's grown over the last 20 years into a top five window retailer in the United States. They've installed over 200,000 windows in the last year alone. 96% of them required no follow-up service. That was my experience. It's been my experience with Harley and Aaron and all the guys at Window Nation for over 12 years now. I've been endorsing Window Nation. Not one complaint from anybody that's ever used them. And I have gotten complaints on other things, never on Window Nation. I wouldn't endorse them if I didn't have complete trust in them. They're trusted by over 100,000 homeowners nationwide, including me. Call them today at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. You're going to get 50% off every style WindowNation window. You choose bows, bays, picture and garden windows, any style, any color. You get 50% off, plus you can get 0% financing for 18 months. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com, and tell them that Kevin Sheehan sent you. It is time now for our cash code, 20 minutes past the hour, all day long here on the Team 980. This hour's code word is DREAM. Text DREAM to 72881 before 9 a.m. for your chance to win $1,000 in the national contest. Message and data rates may apply. That's DREAM to 72881. There was a story yesterday that... Jeff Ehrman, our good friend at Inside Maryland Sports, 247 Sports, had about Daryl Morcell, Maryland's four-year senior defensive player of the year in the Big Ten. If you missed this last week, I think Brendan and I talked about it briefly. Morcell decided that he was going to enter his name into the NBA draft pool, but also enter his name simultaneously into the transfer portal. Now, Maryland got two exceptional transfers from Georgetown and Fats Russell, by the way, who could come into the Big Ten next year as a potential player of the year candidate in their transfer from Rhode Island. Aaron Wiggins and Eric Ayala are testing the NBA draft waters. Unless Aaron Wiggins has a Kevin Huerter-style NBA draft camp performance, I think Wiggins will be back. I think Wiggins has NBA potential, but I think he needs another year. I don't know that he's going to blow up like Huerter did. You know, Huerter went from borderline picked at all to basically middle of the first round after the NBA scouts in the NBA draft camps got a look at him. I don't know that Wiggins will produce the same level. I know if you're a Maryland fan, and I am, and Brendan is, I hope he plays well, but not well enough. I still haven't seen him mocked anywhere in the first two rounds of the NBA draft. If he comes back, he'll return as a first-team All-Big Ten selection, maybe with Fats Russell, by the way, and a chance to be on a team that would be a preseason top 10 team and one of the favorites to win the Big Ten next year. If he comes back, I think he will. That's my guess. I don't know that for sure. I've heard that, you know, most people in the program believe that more likely than not, he and Ayala will be back. But Daryl Morcell, more likely than not, won't be. Now, he hasn't eliminated Maryland as a potential fifth-year option. Remember, in the COVID year this year, the NCAA granted seniors an extra year. So those... They granted everybody an extra year. So the seniors can come back and play next year, a fifth year. Now, ESPN's Jeff Borzello put out a list of the schools that Morcell has heard from and potentially will transfer to if he transfers from Maryland. I don't think Morcell's going to work his way into the NBA draft. Doesn't mean that he can't play and make a living at his age internationally. There are two things with guys like Daryl Morcell at this point. One, a lot of guys are just ready to go earn a living. You know, they're 23, 24 years old, and they're ready to move on from college. We've seen that in the past with various players, except, of course, Brendan at Wisconsin, where they all stay through multiple senior years, it would appear, to 24, 25 years old. Good for Greg Gard. For whatever reason, he's able to keep those guys until they, you know, really look like, you know, middle-aged men and they need to move on. But a lot of players just decide, you know, Melo Trimble was on the older side. One of the reasons he went, even though he didn't get drafted, was he was ready to start earning a living, and he knew he could start earning a living overseas, and Daryl Morcell may have that opportunity. But that's not what we're really talking about here. A lot of Maryland fans have said, wait a minute, if he doesn't leave and decide not to play college basketball anymore, why wouldn't he come back to Maryland, where he's, you know, an all-time defensive player in program history? The first player in program history to win a Conference Defensive Player of the Year award. I'm actually surprised at that. They've had a couple of really good defenders in the past. Johnny Rhodes is one of the all-time great defenders in the history of the ACC. Daryl Morcell, the first ever to win a Defensive Player of the Year award. Well, the list of schools they put out there. So Daryl Morcell is considering Arkansas, He's heard from them. Miami, Florida, Providence, Marquette, San Diego State, where Josh Tomaich transferred to, Butler, and Clemson. Now, why would he leave to go to those places? There is one reason in particular more than any other. Daryl loves Maryland, loves the coach, Turgeon, which many of you will think, well, that he must have an issue with Turgeon, which is why he's leaving. That's not true at all, that there must be something going on there. Daryl Morcell is one of these guys that doesn't want to be there for a long period of time and take away playing time from guys that he's been mentoring, whose turn it is to play behind him. And I think that's the biggest reason more than any other. Not to mention that for a lot of guys, when you're 23 going on potentially 24 years old, you know, you start to realize, you know, I've got a chance to have another experience to get maybe a grad degree somewhere else and play basketball as well. And maybe I want to experience something new. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I can just tell you, based on what I know, that Morcell, if he leaves the program, it's not because he has a problem with the program, with any of the coaches or any of the teammates or anything else. He will be revered and he will be appreciative of these last 4 years. I hope he doesn't leave, though. I would love to have him back, too. I mean, even though they would be so deep and they would have, you know, Turgeon could potentially have a lot of decisions in terms of playing time and maybe even Morcell's minutes might be reduced with some of the players they have coming in, as good as he is, and he's been the heart and soul. The truth is he's not been a dynamic offensive player. And if you've watched teams when they've guarded Maryland, there's been one guy consistently that they've left open over the years. It's Morcell. You don't want to have a player on offense that is left open intentionally if you can avoid it. But he's been so good in so many other areas that he's been a massive net positive. But I'd love to have him back. I really hope Aaron Wiggins and Eric Ayala are back. I can't imagine that they won't be. If they are, Maryland's loaded going into the 2021-2022 season. You know, even if they lose Morcell, if Wiggins and Ayala are back, Maryland is a top 10 to 12 type preseason team. No worse than top 15. We've seen them ranked as high as 5 in the all, you know, too early looks at this. Okay, when we come back, Dane Brugler, who writes for The Athletic, will join us to talk NFL draft. His comprehensive draft preview is out. He just updated his 7-round mock draft. We'll talk about everybody that he thinks Washington could pick at 19, second round quarterbacks, etc. Dane Brugler from The Athletic next. I want to tell you about BetMGM. Spring is showtime at BetMGM. Baseball's back. And as the weather warms up, the hockey and basketball action's getting even hotter. It's the perfect time to take a shot at an easy 100 from the King of Sportsbooks. Sign up today using KevinS100. That's my code, KevinS100. Win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on LA Detroit. If either team hits a three, you win, regardless of your bet's outcome. No matter what your favorite sport is, BetMGM's always at your fingertips with innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use my code KevinS100 to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on Detroit, LA. Doesn't matter what happens in the game, you're gonna get $100 in free bets if either team hits a three-pointer. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 or older, Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. If you've got a gambling problem, call 1-888-532-3500.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Dane Brugler is one of the best at analyzing drafts. His NFL draft guide, The Beast, is out. Only 636 prospects ranked, 415 scouting reports. And nearly, as you wrote, 262,000 words on draft prospects. I won't get anywhere near that number of words, but I'm going to try to get a lot out of you here over the next few minutes. So many people and so many of my friends look forward to your draft preview. And so I want to start with this before we get to Washington, because I've got a lot of questions about what you're thinking. And your 7-round mock update is out right now this morning. And I would urge everybody, as I do when I have Ben Standig on or anybody from The Athletic, Tarik El-Bashir, all the local guys, it's so worth it to subscribe to The Athletic. Not only do you get all the local coverage, you get all the national coverage too. And leading up to the draft, Dane does as good a job as anybody in getting you ready for the NFL draft. First of all, thanks for making time for me. Secondly, I want to start at the top of the draft, because I think we all have this impression that Lawrence 1, Wilson 2, and that the draft early on really turns in one direction or another with what San Francisco does. Are you 100% convinced they're going to take Mac Jones?
No, not at all. And I don't think anybody can be. I've got sources that are close to the 49ers staff, and there are members of that staff who I genuinely believe have no idea who the pick is going to be. This is a Kyle Shanahan pick. He's keeping his cards close to the vest. Being at Justin Fields' pro day today and then Trey Lance's pro day next week, he's doing his due diligence on those three quarterbacks, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance. And I don't know how anybody could be confident in who the pick is going to be. You could make a case for each one of these guys. And if Trey Lance is the pick, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, I don't think anything – the only thing surprising would be if it was a non-quarterback. That is the only surprising pick that would be. And it's really going to be fascinating, because 1 and 2, like you laid out, we feel very confident about. And the draft really starts at number 3. And that's going to set off a domino effect okay, what did the Falcons do at four? Is there maybe a specific quarterback that they would take at number four? If that quarterback goes three, maybe they trade out, or maybe they take Kyle Pitts there. What happens with the last remaining quarterback? It's Carolina. You can't rule out Carolina at eight, even though they did just trade for Sam Darnold. The Denver Broncos are a possibility. And then that's where we start talking about possible trade-ups with New England and Washington, Chicago, Pittsburgh. It's going to get really interesting. But it all starts with that number three pick and what the 49ers are going to do.
So, the Mac Jones thing is interesting to San Francisco, but I want to dovetail off of that for a moment because, several of us got to know Mike really well and even Kyle when they were here. One of the things Mike has always said to many of us, super smart, processes quickly pre and post, and throws with anticipation. Those are so important in quarterbacking, and it's what we look at. And it's what Mac Jones does exceptionally well. What about Trey Lance? Does he do that well? Does Justin Fields do that well? How do they rank in those three key areas as it relates to Mac Jones?
Well, I will say that I don't think any of these three quarterbacks are mentally deficient, where you're worried about just how they're going to handle a playbook or things like that. I don't think any of these three guys, you're necessarily worried about that. With Trey Lance, his intelligence is something for a player just that's only 20 years old, still very young. That was really impressive. And I give credit to the North Dakota State staff with what they put on his plate during the week, the preparation, and then, how to implement a game plan on game day, all the things that went into it. Even though, the bread and butter of that North Dakota State offense is the run game.
Yes.
Lance's 17 starts at the college level, which obviously isn't very many. He averaged 18.6 pass attempts per game. Meanwhile, the run game, 45 carries per game.
Right.
So, obviously that's what they do. And they're not going to change that regardless of who the quarterback is. But they put a lot on the shoulders of their quarterback. And I think that shows on tape. And I think that's something that's going to help him make a easier transition than what a lot of people think, just thinking about, an FCS quarterback, redshirt sophomore, meager experience, making that jump. So I do think Trey Lance, and that's why when trade was initially made, part of the reason why my thought process was initially, Trey Lance, perfect fit with Kyle Shanahan. I love that. Let's start talking about it. And then the Mac Jones chatter started. And I understand the Mac Jones conversation. Like you said about the processing and the anticipation, if you're going to list the two most important qualities at the quarterback position, it's accuracy, it's decision-making. It always starts with those two things. And Mac Jones, you can make the argument, is above the rest in those two areas. You just have to decide, is he good enough in those other areas? Mobility, arm strength, all the other variables that it takes to play the position at a high level. And so I don't think it would be necessarily a shock to see Mac Jones go three when you think about it like that and you think about what Kyle will put extra emphasis on at the quarterback position.
All right, let's just assume for the purposes of this conversation, as we're talking to Dane Brugler from The Athletic, at DP Brugler on Twitter, that it is Mac Jones at three. So now Atlanta's there at four. They can take Trey Lance. They can take Kyle Pitts to add to Ridley and Jones and, Matt Ryan, who, by the way, is still a pretty damn good quarterback. Or they could trade out. What do you think is most likely there? And if it's a trade, to whom?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that's exactly what they're facing right now with those three decisions. And you could really make a case for each one. How often do you expect to be picking top five and have a quarterback like a Trey Lance, like a Justin Fields, sitting there for them? Assuming Mac Jones goes three, you don't pass on really good quarterbacks. Sam Darnold put together three below average seasons with the Jets, but he was so good coming out of college that we still have a team trade three draft picks, including a second rounder, to get Sam Darnold. So you don't pass on talented quarterbacks when you have a chance at them. That is the thought that I just keep coming back to. And that's why I do think that quarterback probably the most likely option there. But when you Matt Ryan, like you said, still a good quarterback. You can win with Matt Ryan. And with the way his contract is, you probably have him as a starter for the next 2 years. And the Falcons cap situation, they need young players. So you could make the case that trading out of that spot, if you get that offer that you're looking for, multiple first-round picks, then that makes a ton of sense because you're able to rebuild your roster while still competing with a quarterback like Matt Ryan. So I think if they get the right offer, trade offer, that's going to be awfully appealing. But at the same time, personally, I'm not passing on Trey Lance there. And that's what I keep coming back to if I'm the Falcons. With new first-year general manager, first-year head coach, there's some unknown there with the new faces. So we're all kind of guessing at this point, but a quarterback seems like the right course of action.
All right. So on the trade up, are you hearing anything about Washington? There was the report last week from Lombardi about their interest in Trey Lance and that they would be aggressive on draft night. Are you hearing anything to that effect?
You know, similar things, nothing concrete, nothing that would lead me to say it's absolutely going to happen or, you know, it's something that people should bet on. I think that, you know, when you look at the Washington situation where, you know, they have, you know, their quarterback room right now, it's a full room and they have a veteran starter ready to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick. But, you know, what is the long term? What's the long term plan at that position? At what point will Washington feel comfortable start making those calls if Trey Lance gets to pick, say he doesn't go four, say he doesn't go three, doesn't go four, five and six aren't taking Trey Lance, say he's available at number seven. Is that the spot where you start making that call just to see what it would take? And that's what you're making those calls right now. It's not like you're waiting until draft day. You're making those calls sure. Right now, you know, yep. Laying out the groundwork. What is it going to cost us? Who else is calling you? What are they offering? What, you know, and you just try to get as much information as possible. So you're not surprised on draft day. And so you can't rule it out. You know, that's really the best we can say right now at this point with Washington. I think when you try to come up with a long-term plan at the position, the idea of adding Trey Lance to your team has to be awfully appealing. And I think at some point they're going to start making those calls. It's just, we don't know what point that will be.
Talking to Dane Brugler, subscribe to The Athletic and get his draft report. It's phenomenal. Are you, your mock has this. I'm just curious. Are you convinced that Fields is number five out of the five that more likely than not will go in the top 10?
Yeah, I think if you had a, you know, bet on it, then that's probably what happens. But, you know, these quarterbacks are ice cream flavors. Yeah. You know, they're all good. They're just, you know, you have different preferences. You have what you're looking for. Kyle Shanahan might be a little bit different than what, you know, the Broncos are looking for, what Matt Rhule in Carolina is looking for. So I don't know that I would necessarily say that's definitely going to happen or that's what the most, I think it's probably the most likely, but, you know, who knows? Anything could happen with these quarterbacks. I was talking to someone yesterday talking about Carolina saying, yeah, they traded for Sam Darnold, but this is an organization that is ready to throw darts, multiple darts at the quarterback position. He said, don't rule out quarterback at number eight with the Panthers. And you figure all the draft capital that they were ready to give up for Deshaun Watson before, you know, that situation went away. They can use some of that. They don't have to use all of it. Just use some of that to go after two quarterbacks like a Sam Darnold and a Justin Fields. And so, you know, I think there's some really interesting dominoes there in the top 10 that it could really, you know, it's going to help us, you know, see how the rest of the first round is going to play out. The Patriots are the interesting one to me. We just don't have a sample size of them attacking the quarterback position high. Sure. Because of Tom Brady. You know, for 20 years, he was the guy. And so Bill Belichick, and, you know, I think that when we look at last year's Patriots offense, you know, just had to drive them nuts with the inconsistency on offense and the quarterback. And even though they did bring Cam Newton back, this is a chance for them to go make a move. And so we can't rule out the Patriots either, looking at the top 10 and possibly making a move up to get their guy.
Is Kyle Pitts the best player in this draft?
I think he's the best non-quarterback. You know, quarterbacks just make so much of an impact that it's hard to really rank them with the rest of the position players. But I do think he's the best non-quarterback in the class. And it's interesting because it reminds me of the Quentin Nelson conversation a few years ago. Yeah. You know, Quentin Nelson was the best player in that draft. You just have to kind of mentally get past the position because you don't normally talk about guards being the best player in the draft. Same thing with tight end. You don't usually think of a tight end as, you know, being the best player in a respective draft class. But just a phenomenal, phenomenal player, just a rare type of talent. 6'5 and a half, 245 pounds, 4.40 in the 40-yard dash, 83 and a half inch wingspan. Just on those numbers alone, that's enough to get you excited. But then you watch the tape, and it's even better. And it's just really impressive to see him go up against, because he's not just beating linebackers and safeties. He's beating SEC corners. You throw in the Kentucky tape. Kelvin right. Joseph, 4.3 athlete.
Good defensive team, too.
Has a chance to be a first-round pick. And Kyle Pitts is blowing right by him. And, you know, and not just the speed, but his elite ball skills really stand out as something that is a strong selling point with him. Just kind of throw to his area and let him go attack. So he is a unique playmaker who you can line him up in line. He can execute basic blocks, detach him, put him in a slot, put him outside. You can do so many different things with him that he is scheme diverse. And the talent is really what supersedes everything. So when you look at Atlanta at 4, the quarterback's going to look enticing. A trade back's going to be enticing as well. But Kyle Pitts sitting there and what he can do to your offense, that's also an option that they're going to think long and hard about.
Just envisioning that offense with him added to it, it would be dynamic as hell. Dane Brugler joining us. All right, let's focus on Washington at 19. I want to circle back here in a moment to the sixth best quarterback and who you have in that position. Mm-hmm. But I did notice that you've got Micah Parsons dropping. Talent-wise, before we get to who you have at Washington or the possibilities at Washington, talent-wise, is Micah Parsons the best defensive talent in the draft?
He's in the conversation, no doubt. 6'3", 245 pounds, and he ripped off a 4.36 40-yard dash at his pro day. Just a remarkable athlete. And, you know, you look at a player who was a pass rusher in high school, goes to Penn State, moves off the ball to an off-ball role, and he really only started 1 year. But he led the team in tackles both seasons, and then he opts out as a junior. Wish we could have seen a little bit more of him, because he still has developing to do. He's not a finished product by any means. So a really talented player who's still growing, still coming into his own. But, you know, you just have to, you know, the maturity thing. Just need to mature on and off the field. And some teams are more confident about that than others. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be something where he just free falls on draft day. But, you know, somewhere you could see him going 11 to the Giants. That's very possible. 15 to the Patriots, it's very possible. So, you know, 18 to the Dolphins. So I think somewhere in that, you know, 11 to 19 range is where Micah Parsons is going to go. He's just too talented to get past that range.
Do you think it's possible that given some of the, you know, the red flags and maturity issues that some teams don't even have him on their board?
It's possible, sure. I mean, some of these teams are more risk adverse than others. We don't know how the interviews went. And that's the thing about this draft process that's so unique to the, you know, every other draft process that we've gone through, is we don't have the 30 visits where teams are able to come to the, or players are coming into the facility and you're getting to know them on a personal level. You know, we don't, even the pro days, teams would go in the day before, take a player out to dinner and, you know, or, you know, breakfast the next day, whatever it is, get to know him better. You're not allowed to do that this year. There's no one-on-one interaction in person. Now you can do the virtual visits and, you know, talk to them and get your answers that you're looking for, but it's a different vibe. And so for some of these players that, you know, you want to get some of those answers, maybe this process is holding you back from getting the exact answers you're looking for. So that's something that, and you look at the Isaiah Wilson situation last year, not comparing those two, but I think that's going to be a cautionary tale for some teams in terms of making sure they know the player inside and out before they're investing a first-round pick in them.
All right, give me the players that you think, you know, Washington will consider, the players that you like for them at 19.
Well, if Micah Parsons is off the board, I do think that, you know, he would be the pick if he's there. But if he's off the board, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, I think would, you know, the Washington football team has really invested a lot in the front seven on defense in the first round in recent years. And Owusu-Koramoa, just keep doing it. You know, keep adding to that defense. And Owusu-Koramoa, 6'1 and a half, 220 pounds. He can run like the wind. He can cover in the slot, explosive blitzer. There's so much you can do with a talent like this that, you know, you get excited about the possibilities. And so as long as your defensive coordinator is on board with how to use a talent like this from snap to snap, he's going to help everybody else, because the personnel packages that you can roll out there, it's going to help everybody. It's going to help, your nickel and dime. It's going to help, whatever you're running in base. So Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is just that versatile talent that you would love to add to the mix. So he's definitely someone that should be, you talked about at number 19. And then offensive tackle, is there going to be an offensive tackle there that Washington really has their eye on? Christian Darrisaw, to me, is the name to watch. Virginia Tech, he has the frame. He's 6'5", 322 pounds, 34 and a quarter inch arms. So he has the body type you're looking for. He has the quickness with the way he moves, the movement patterns to win against speed, win against power. The one worry I have with him is just sometimes he doesn't always finish. You know, he's a guy that can be a 90% player. I want to see him consistently get through the whistle. And as long as you can coach that into him, everything else is there for him to be a day one starter and hold down a tackle position for a long time.
Is there any possibilities we talk to Dane Brugler? Because another need potentially, you've hit on a big need. I mean, linebacker is a need. Offensive line, certainly a tackle is a need. You know, there's a lot of discussion about corner and even safety with Landon Collins coming back, but off that injury. On the corner front, it just seems like a lot of the corners, they're bigger, they're longer in terms of the corners that are out there. They can all run. They love bigger, longer corners. Any chance that Surtain or Horn make it to 19?
I'd be pretty surprised. This is a really interesting draft. I went back in the Super Bowl era, the latest that we saw a defensive player drafted was right. Champ Bailey in 99, which was 7 overall. This year, good chance we go even further. In my mock draft today, I had the first defensive player coming off the board at 10, and that was Patrick Surtain to the Cowboys. So it's just a really interesting class when you have the quarterbacks early and some, the wide receivers and Pitts and offensive tackles. So we're going to see offense very early, and that's going to stretch, the teams as well. So it'll be interesting what defensive players get pushed back. Could a J.C. Horn maybe get pushed back a little? But it's possible. You don't rule it out. Who saw, C.D. Lamb going 17 last year? So you never rule it out, but I think it would be surprising. Right, exactly. And, you look at, the Cowboys, you look at the Eagles at 12, the Chargers at 13. Those are all teams that could really use corner help. And so I have a tough time seeing those two guys getting past those teams and to 19, but you don't rule it out. But this is a really strong corner group. If you look at the second round and the third round, if Washington wants a corner, they'd be able to find one. When you talk about the two Georgia guys, Eric Stokes and Tyson Stokes. Campbell, they're both 6'1" and they can fly. So there's a lot to like about both those guys. Caleb Farley is going to be an interesting one. Has the medical issues. But he, to me, in my opinion, a top 10 talent in this class. Size-wise,
it was 6'2", 200 pounds. Wasn't it? Isn't it a back? It's a back issue, right?
Right. His second back procedure in 3 years, and that's something that is obviously you worry about. But I'm not, I'm not a medical professional. I don't know how much you worry about long-term. That's why there are doctors and trainers on the payroll for each team. They're going to be able to tell the GM either thumbs up or, there's just too much of a risk here. We this is something we would worry about. And so, it's tough to talk about players like this where the medical is involved. But as a player, Farley is just fantastic. His burst is rare. The speed is fantastic. He has his natural ball instincts for a player who's only been playing the position since 2018. High school quarterback, goes to Virginia Tech as a wide receiver. 2018, that season opener, was his first time he ever played corner in his life, and he had 2 picks in that game. So he is a premier talent. You just have to figure out, okay, at what point, kind of Montez Sweat a few years ago, yeah. There were the questions about the medical, and we didn't know how to talk about that necessarily. Thing, yeah. Right. Where was he going to fall? Washington's able to get a steal. So could that happen again with a Caleb Farley? Obviously, at 6'2", say it worked out okay with Sweat. Could that happen again with Caleb Farley? That's something that I think should at least be on the table as a discussion point.
You're being so generous with your time. Dane Brugler joining us. I've got like another minute, and there are just a couple things that I wanted to hit on. Number one is this. You're the latest to basically move Davis Mills up to like the sixth quarterback taken in this draft. He's obviously rising up the boards. My first question is why? In front of the other guys like Newman and Mond and Trask.
Well, I've been a big Mills fan for a while now. I mean, he's been my sixth guy. He's a player who you feel like what he's going to be down the road is, you know, there's starting potential there. Really, after you get past the top five, Mills is the only other quarterback, in my opinion, that I would bet on starting games in the NFL. I mean, maybe Kyle Trask can be a spot starter, and you know, Mond, but in terms of being a viable long-term starter, Davis Mills at least has the ingredients to do it. 6'4", 220, only 11 starts. You worry about the left knee, but if the medical staff signs off on the knee, this is the type of guy you want to bring into your organization, develop him, and add to your quarterback room, and you think that in a year, 2 years from now, he's going to be able to start games for you because I think he's the best middle-of-the-field thrower in this draft. He's a very loose passer. He can move around a little bit. There is a lot to like about the Davis Mills starter pack and what you can develop with those raw traits.
Last one. Actually, two. Sorry, I lied. Freiermuth, the tight end from Penn State. Washington's got a need. Would he be around at 51 or even potentially in the third round? And I did see, and I was surprised at this, and I've been surprised, that Kadarius Toney continues to sort of fall among the slot receivers. You like him as a possibility to Washington at 51. Talk about those two players and the possibility for a fit with Washington.
Yeah, I think Freiermuth's going to go somewhere in, you know, that early to mid second round range. So it's possible he could be there at 51. Kind of reminds me of Cole Kmet last year, who yes. I think went 40th overall to the Packers. So, you know, same type of range for Freiermuth. Good player. I don't think he's necessarily above average in anything. He's just pretty good across the board. You know, dependable receiver, pretty good blocker. I mean, plug him into your offense. And, you know, you're going to feel good about what he's going to bring each and every day. Kadarius Toney, you know, we talk about these receivers. It's such a loaded class, especially after you get past those top three guys with Ja'Marr Chase and Jaylen Waddle and Devontae Smith. It's the opinions are all over about, okay, what's the order of receivers 4 through 8? You know, is it Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore, Terrace Marshall, Rondale Moore, some really like De'Ami Brown at North Carolina, and Kadarius Toney is right there in that mix somewhere. So for different teams, there's different orders, and that, you know, is going to, for one of these receivers, they're going to go much later than maybe we initially thought, you know, maybe possibly outside the top 50, and that could be Kadarius Toney. And then you look at Washington sitting there at 51, sitting there, okay, who's going to fall to us? Could a good player be there? A player like Kadarius Toney, who's just a big play waiting to happen with the home run speed and the elusiveness, that could be a landing spot that makes sense. Even though I don't know that wide receiver with the additions that they made is necessarily, you know, the top need at that point. But when you have a talent like that sitting there for you and you think about what he can add to your offense, it makes some sense.
Dane, this was awesome. I really appreciate the time. And all of you should subscribe to The Athletic just to read The Beast, which is his 2021 NFL draft guide. Draft people look forward to it every year. 636 prospects ranked, and lots of reports on a very difficult year to do it as well. Appreciate the time. We'll talk soon. I appreciate it. Take care.
All right. Sounds good. Take care.
Yeah, Dane Brugler, everybody. Appreciate him coming on. Appreciate Joe B. joining us earlier in the show as well. We'll follow up on some of this conversation tomorrow. We are out of time on the day. Stay tuned. Travis is up next.